In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask your Holy Spirit upon us. Help us to grow in love of you. Help us grow in the spirit of poverty so as to empty ourselves and be filled with your graces, with your joy, with your love, all the days of our lives. Amen. As a Chaldean priest especially, I find myself oftentimes reflecting on our community as a whole, like the Chaldean community at large here in Detroit, across the world. And objectively, I'm very proud. I'm a proud Baba, very proud of our Chaldean community for multiple reasons, right? But one of them is just the fact that we have been able to come to a new country or to whatever other countries in the world, but especially for me here in Detroit area, come to an immigrant community, immigrant population, half the church is either immigrants or children of immigrants or maybe third generation. But we've been able to establish ourselves very well, and we should be very proud of that. We're in all of the fields that we can think of, in medicine, in law, and law enforcement, and the corporate world, and the finance world. We're involved in politics, although I think we should be more involved in politics. It's a different time for a different day. We're involved in the education system. We're in the business world, right? We're very objectively, really objectively, we're a relatively financially stable community and body of people. Everyone in their own kind of degrees and extremes. But the reality is, we could have been in poverty, being from where we came from, yet we've established ourselves very, very well. And we should be very proud of that. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect by any means, right? As a community, we have our flaws. As individuals, we have our flaws, as is the nature of all communities. And the temptation that can very easily come with success or with establishing ourselves in these fields especially, is that we can look at it and think to ourselves, the temptation is this: my career, my degree, my success, whatever, defines me. That's my identity, is my career, my success. But even more so, in a more general way of looking at it, the temptation could be that money defines me. How much I have, how much I don't have, is what I define myself as, what the world defines us as. And that's not true. It's very much a demonic lie, but it's very much a temptation for all human hearts since the beginning of time. So I want to talk about money for a minute here. And it's a very sensitive topic, so I want to just dance around the issue a little bit, but it's very sensitive because it's convoluted. It's not like black and white. Everyone's heart is very different. But my advice to you ultimately is threefold. My advice when it comes to money and how us as a community, how you as individuals, how you as families grow in love of God, and as well as you have to function in the world and pay money to exist and to live, is to just do these three things. Be careful, be intentional, and be content. Be careful, be intentional, and be content. Be careful. Because what happens very much oftentimes in our lives is, if we're not careful with how we look at money, the things we have can be what our success is. The things we have, we can think that we're better than other people because I have nicer things. Temptation. I think everyone does that. It's temptation. And the opposite extreme, right? Those who don't have means can look at those with means and say, they think they're better than me because they have this. And really, they're just living their lives. They're just being content in their own existences. And that can be a wound in our hearts, right? So it's not extremes here. It's everyone and anyone can have this temptation of money in their hearts as it defines us, or it can be a means of judging others or being self-righteous in our lives. Think of Acts of the Apostles. There's this guy, Simon. There's literally a sin named after him, Simon. The sin is called simony, and the sin is to buy or purchase the sacraments, right? What was his issue? He wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. He asked Peter, I want to buy, I have money, and my money is the most important thing to me. I want to buy the Holy Spirit. I want to buy that power so that I can go to other people and give them that power. So it's all about me and my wealth, and Simon and Peter. And Peter responds very, very harshly. He's like, says to him, your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You neither have part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Like, die. Literally, die. Take your money and die is literally what Peter says to him. He's that aggressive with it because he allowed money to be the means of his existence instead of just who we are in God and Jesus Christ. Now, even for us, and I think about this a lot, I pray with this a lot. As the church, right, we have to be careful how we handle and function money. Because the big temptation, especially like non-churchgoers, is that, oh, the church is a business, the church just wants money. And like, if you objectively look at it from the outside, they're not wrong, right? Every time you come to church, we're like, here's a basket, here's a fundraiser, we're selling cookies. Like, we're constantly doing fundraisers because we have to constantly function because we live in the world and we have to pay bills and build buildings, all these things. That's the nature of existence here. But if we ever get too far, you have a right and obligation to challenge the church. Because what we do, that's a secondary thing. We raise money and do these things and build buildings, all these things, so as to give glory to God and then provide the sacraments. So that you can come and pray at Mass and not pay a dollar. You can come and get baptized and not pay a dollar. It's not about money. Now, there's always that aspect of it, but what matters most is God. And what matters most is the ability to function and to preach Jesus Christ for the salvation of souls and for the glory of God. This building, by its very nature, gives glory to God, something beyond ourselves. And it's very, very beautiful. But we have to, even as a church, we have to be careful. So be careful. Be intentional. I was praying with money and kind of this homily. And the one thing that came to mind, and I'm not sure how affluent you are with American pop culture movies, the old movie, Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory from the 70s. And there's a character in the movie, and she's a very obnoxious, bratty character. She's like, "But Daddy, I want it now! Every time she wants something, I want it now, Daddy!" And she's the most annoying character in the entire movie, and you just want to smack her, like, "You're a brat!" Right? Not a good quality for a human being. But she's a character in the movie. If you haven't seen the movie, it's an American classic. Please watch that movie eventually, right? So what happens, though? If you really look at it, she's a brat, and she wants this thing, and her daddy's right behind her with a checkbook, like, "Oh, sure," pulls out a checkbook from his pocket. "I'll buy it for you, sweetheart. I want to make you happy with money. If I just give you things, you'll be happy." Very unintentional parenting. Terrible parenting. How do we, in the modern day world, raise children with money in our pocket for them to not be greedy? For them to know the value of a dollar? For them to know the value of a hard day's work? That, like, my uncles will always tell the stories when they first came to America, and they're not even exaggerating. They took two buses to get to a store so they can work stock, and then took two buses home and did that every day, every week, every month for years to establish themselves. How do we train that kind of work ethic for those who maybe don't have it? And even understand that teach this lesson that money comes and money goes. We want to, we think to ourselves, like, "Well, I didn't have it, therefore I want my children to have a good living, because that'll make them happy because I felt neglected as a child." Be careful of that lie. Money and things will not satisfy our hearts. Think, for example, we enter into First Communion season and wedding season, right? The nature of extravagant things. Be intentional. We should, as Christian faithful, celebrate these things. The reception of the sacrament, creating a new Christian family in marriage. We should celebrate them. But we don't have to be extreme about them and extravagant about them to either, one, show off our wealth, or two, try to keep up with other people who are doing crazy, amazing things. We can live a simple life, and it's very, very beautiful if we do it properly and right. It has to be intentional. I don't care how you do it. You can have money, you can have your wealth, and there's no sin in it. You can be poor. There's no. You're not less than anybody. But how do we be careful and then be intentional, especially how you raise your children and raise your own soul when it comes to money? Now, be careful, be intentional, be content. Really be content with that. Throughout the entirety of human history, money has always been a temptation. Whether those who don't have it think to themselves, "Oh, if only I had it, if only I had it, I am nothing, I need money because this and this and that. Those people are so cool, those people are so amazing." Or those who do have it think, like, "Well, I'm the temptation again." These are temptations, not realities all the time. That they're not as good as me because I have more means than them. That's a temptation and a lie, and be careful of that. But we all have to be content. And throughout Christian history, there have been people who have seen that temptation that money can cause, and they have intentionally taken vows of poverty. Whether it be our nuns, and we have our Chaldean sisters here with us, woo, right? They don't own anything, nothing. They don't own a single thing. They don't have a bank account. Everything they own in community with each other, for each other, for the community itself. And that's not just them. It's throughout Christian history, there have been that desire, whether it's nuns or monks or friars who said to themselves, I this temptation of money, whether poor or rich, is too much. I choose nothing. I choose to give everything I have and live off of the poverty and begging of the people of God. And they have allowed themselves to grow in holiness from that. And that's extremely beautiful. Because even in the gospel today, Jesus is preaching to his apostles. Like, I'm going to leave, I'm going to come back, I'm going to leave, I'm going to come back. Like, basically what he's saying is, listen, this world is burdensome. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. But the world will rejoice. The world of money, the world of things, the world of materialism. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy and your hearts will rejoice because no one can take that joy from you. That we want to be satisfied. The desire of all human hearts is to be fulfilled, is to be happy, is to be content. And if we're not careful, if we're not intentional, and we're not content with the things that we have in our lives, it can burden our soul. Whether you have nice things, I do not care. God does not care if you have nice things. That's not the sin. It's how you allow it to absorb your life. God does not care in your life. How do you, as a human, as a follower of Christ, say to myself, I live in a $10 million mansion, and thank God, and I'm very content. I'm content in my life. I live in an apartment, and I pay month to month, but you know what? I have a roof, I have food, and I'm very content, I'm very happy. That's how we allow ourselves to fight the temptations of the desire of the evil one for money and live for God and live a life of simplicity and contentment. I was praying with St. Augustine. St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. How much more true for that is for us? That we can think to ourselves, our hearts are always longing to be filled. I want more. I want more. I need more. They have that. They have this. I want this. Our hearts will never be satisfied until they're filled, until we're content with the love of God first. Amen? Amen.